Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hello, hello.
Hello, what a pleasant speaking voice you have.
Thank you. I actually was more like leery than anything else because I was like, am I supposed to talk right now?
Oh, yeah. And then my phone just did a weird thing and Rob had just said something to me and my phone was just like, we don't know. And so it looked like I wasn't going to answer what he was saying.
Well, we got it now. Ashley, how are you? Thanks so much for the time, by the way. I appreciate it.
Of course. No, I'm happy to be here.
So I want to jump right in with all of these nominations because you got Best Album at the Grammys, 3 ACM nominations, Female Artist of the Year, Album of the Year, Song of the Year for One Night Standard. Now, I heard, congratulations, first off, but I heard that you display your awards in your bathroom. Is that true or did I hear that wrong?
No, it is 1,000% true. And initially, I just thought, you know, everybody eventually has to use that room, like whether you're coming by for brunch or you're coming to stay the night, you eventually have to go in that room. So I didn't want to shove it in everyone's faces, but I did. I feel like it's a really good thing to recognize when something awesome happens. And so there they are sitting in the restroom.
I think it's genius because, you know, a lot of people have it in like an office or some people have it in like a living room or something, but you're right. It's the one room everyone has to go into. And it's the one room you're probably not distracted. You're looking around at the things in the bathroom. So you gotta take a peek. Do you have one that you're the most proud of, the one that you put front and center that you're like, all right, here's the one that's going to catch your eye and you're going to have some thoughts on?
Well, the ACM Awards are kind of balancing out the big CMA in the middle. But I will say that on times when, you know, it's been really hard in the last year to remember that this is something we do for a living. This is still us. We just can't do it right now. And I would just go get that CMA award out and just kind of wipe the fingerprints off of it and look at it for a minute. Because it turns out if you put your awards in the restroom right there where there's a sink where everybody can wash their hands and there's a mirror, you wind up with a lot of friends with selfies of your awards.
It's genius. You know, now that I think about it, I absolutely would do the same thing. I mean, why wouldn't you, right?
It's right. Great. Maybe I should put like a little decal frame around that mirror so that it looks like an awards picture.
Genius. I love it. I got to say, I'm a huge fan. The album Never Will is unbelievable. One Night Standards is incredible. And my wife and I both heard, we were cleaning the house and we had a playlist on and Martha Devine came on. And immediately we both stopped and said, oh my God, what is this? This is so good. It's such a great song. It's so you. And then as I dove into the song more, I heard that there's a real story behind it. Can you tell me that story?
There is a couple of real stories behind that song. So the name Martha Devine actually comes out of the great state of Kentucky. There is a place called the Martha Devine Swimming Hole. And there are a couple of urban legends that kind of surround what happened to the actual Martha Devine. Sadly, she did lose her life somewhere in that region. And I thought, well, that doesn't exactly make a great story for country, for an album. But I loved the name. And I loved that it was a name that carried a really cool vibe. And so I thought we could just make up a story surrounding that really cool name. And then, I don't know if it's saying too much, but there were some indiscretions in my family and there was a particular woman that I just really wanted to push down a flight of stairs. So I thought instead of saying her name, maybe I would just name her Martha Devine and we could just kind of Jolene that song, right? We could just, what would you say to her if you could say it to her now? So that's what we did. So most cheating songs are written from the point of view of the cheater or the one being cheated on. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we did it from the position of the daughter?
I saw your performance on the Opry a little while ago, and you performed a new song, Whiskey and Country Music, which, I mean, goodness, I had goosebumps, Ashley. It's so good. Is that, can you first off talk to me about that song, and then is it part of a new project you're working on?
I had the absolute wonderful fortune one day of getting in the room to write with John Osborne of Brothers Osborne and Lee Thomas Miller. And sometimes when somebody puts the word whiskey in a title, I'm gonna shut it down, because, you know, when you first get to town, that's all you want to write about. Yep. And but he said whiskey and country music. And the more we kicked it around just a little bit, getting to that point where we're saying nothing takes the edge off when I'm going through it, like whiskey and country music, which is true. And so we really enjoyed it. Plus John Osborne on guitar, this song has zero chances of not being country or being interesting. So it was a complete blast to write. And, you know, we've been worried because we can't tour on the Never Will record. And so when does record three start if you haven't spent an entire year on the road touring that record? So things started to smell a little bit like record three. So I guess all I can tell you is whiskey and country music is what lit that little fuse.
That's awesome. That's got me excited now. I can't wait. You have some of, if not the coolest merch in country music. And I say this because I personally own like three or four of the t-shirts from
your
website. They're amazing, and they're cool to wear and show off and all of that. Are you a part of any of that process of like the designs? Cause they're essentially, you know, the classic tattoo looks is kind of what the vibe is. Are you a part of that process?
Yes, that was actually a really big deal to me once things started taking off, is that I don't want to put any merch out that I wouldn't wear.
Yeah.
And of course I can't wear it because it's got my name on it, but I don't want to put any t-shirts out that I just wouldn't wear for myself. And I've got a great team inside my management team that helps me with designers and all of that. We chat over texts, we get together on calls, and then they mock everything up and we make little adjustments all together. But my merch team is just absolutely top notch at hearing what I say and then making it look the way I meant for that to come out.
Well, they're really cool. If anyone's listening or whatever, I highly recommend going to get one because they're cool, and people are going to make comments about them, and then you're going to be like, yeah, it's Ashley McBride, dude. I want to go to the tattoos, because I have 14 tattoos. I'm a tattoo guy. I think you've got me beat though. But if you have tattoos, it's kind of like a family, right? We all know that every single one of them tells a different story, and you got it for a specific reason and a specific moment in your life. Can you tell me your favorite one that you have, and maybe the story behind that, if you don't mind revealing too much?
Not at all. And you know, sometimes when people say, I'm sorry, I'm staring at your tattoos. And I say, well, you know, that's why they're there.
Exactly.
And bless my heart, I can't tan, so I just color it every other color. let's see what I would tell you. I'm just looking at my arms really quickly. So there is one on my left arm, right on the very top inside of the bicep. And it's a ship wheel with a rope around it and a banner that says, Where's Home? And at the time I got this, I was still playing in a bar. So I'm gone about 25 days a month. I only came home to pay bills and go right back out. And living in my house with me, sharing the place, was my brother Daniel, who worked at the time on an oil rig. He had just left the Navy and was working on an oil rig. So he's 3 weeks out, 3 weeks in, and I'm 2 weeks out, 5 days in. And we would kind of just barely pass each other and see each other for about a day. And just to remind ourselves that this is my person. These people are where I come from, and I'll always get back home to you. And so, and just, it's sort of like a direct, at first I thought I was going to do a compass, and then we wound up with a ship wheel, because you're kind of just always on the drive home when you're getting back to somebody you love like that.
I saw something you posted, I think it was on Instagram, that I saw it with your brother, and the caption kind of got me, because you were like the first person who got me to try good sushi. I don't see you as a sushi person. Can you tell me about that story and how he got you to find good sushi?
I would have never chosen to eat sushi, but my brother and I used to like to take each other out on, we would call them sibling dates, right? So one of you has to pay for dinner, one of you has to pay for the movie. And he had asked me, this was in Memphis, Tennessee years ago. And he said, he was on leave, do you want to try sushi? And I said, I don't know about eating raw fish.
Right.
And he said, well, what if I, you know, choose the rolls for you? I can get you things that are cooked or things that are fried or things that are smoked. Would you mind trying some stuff? So we went to one of those places where the sushi's in the little boats and it kind of floats around the little table you're sitting around. And he would grab me things. Oh, you're going to like this. You're going to like that. sure enough, I did. And then I finally asked him, okay, what was this? And you know, explain to me what each thing was. And most of it had been, in fact, raw. And I'm a sashimi eater now. I can eat nigiri. Like, I love all that stuff. But I wouldn't have without Daniel. I also thought that ramen noodles were just what came in a package until my brother Daniel took me to an actual ramen place.
So funny. So again, I'm watching the Opry performance and I see you perform Girl Going Nowhere. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, man, that has to be surreal to perform it there. And then, so it got me thinking of all the amazing places that you've performed and the cool stages you've been on. Is there one that sticks out for you that as you're performing that song specifically in your mind, you're thinking, this is the biggest bleep you ever right now. And I love it.
There have been a couple of really cool rooms that I've gotten to play Girl Going Nowhere in. And of course, the Opry and the Ryman stage being the very top of the list. But you'd be really surprised at the flutter in your heart and in your tummy when you're standing at Red Rocks.
Nice.
In this big, I mean, clearly whatever created the earth created this space for music. And now you're doing it and you're doing that song that no one expected you to be on that stage doing it. So that Red Rocks remains one of my big ones.
Let's go back to when you self-released your first album. I think your second album as well. Is that right?
Yeah, there were a couple of independent releases. There sure were.
How has Ashley McBride changed mentally, emotionally, personally since then? Because now, you know, multiple Grammy nominations. We talked about the ACMs, the CMAs. How do you think, you know, you've changed on an emotional front from then to now?
Wow. The main thing that when you started asking the question that I saw that changed is when you get into a room to write a song, if there's not one really started in just a few minutes, you kind of get panicky and you feel like there's a rush. So I think the main growth I've seen is that there's not a rush to get just a song out. I would rather get something that we really like. Chances are we'll complete it and we'll leave the room, you know, with something that previously didn't exist. But as long as you're not rushing yourself, I think that was a really great growth for me. But when you release stuff independently, you're kicking and screaming and you've got something to prove.
Yep.
So that has changed now, releasing records with support on a label. And now I'm kicking and screaming and I have something to prove.
I love it. Great answer. I read something that I didn't know about, and I've been a fan for a while, but I didn't know that Eric Church kind of gave you the big thumbs up. And I, again, I didn't know that. Can you tell me about that experience, what that was like for you and how that all came about?
So we're managed by the same company, and he had discovered my songwriting, and actually his wife, Catherine, had discovered it first. And I was asked, would you like to see the Hold in My Own tour, which I had never seen anything like it. Of course, yeah. I want to see it. But I'm also a big nerd about lighting and the setting and like what things look like. So I really want to take this in. I loved it that he invited me to Chicago to come and see it. Such a great place, such a great city to be experiencing music in. And then I get told at catering right before the show, they're like, hi, come have a meal. And then I get told, hey, you're singing with Eric tonight. And I kind of did like, excuse me, what? and if you've seen the clip, then I'm in a Mr. Misunderstood t-shirt. Like I'm a fan. I'm wearing Eric's merch. And luckily I know all of Eric's songs. I thought it wouldn't be a problem. But they did tell me that he wanted to do one of mine. He wanted to do a Bible in a 44. Which really blew me away. And yeah. My first thought was, watch me forget the words to something I made up. That'll be super classy. My favorite thing about that night, and when people say, did Eric Church discover you? I tell them, no, he did not.
Right.
But what you said was absolutely correct. You said he gave me the thumbs up. So okay. Here we are in front of 25,000 people. And he said, you're going to like this girl. And if you're an Eric Church fan, something that comes along with that, being a fan myself, is trusting him. Because remember in Mr. Misunderstood, if you didn't know who Ray Wiley Hubbard was, you went and looked him up after Eric sang his name. If you didn't know who Jeff Tweedy was, you went and looked him up after that song. You trust Eric's taste in music. So for him to say, you're going to like this girl right then, probably not everyone, but almost everyone in that big arena said, I bet we will. And that's just a really, really cool stamp of approval to get.
I want to go back to what you said in the beginning of that, when you were talking about how you're a nerd when it comes to lighting and the stage and all of that stuff. And we talked about, you know, Red Rocks and we talked about Opry and the Ryman and all of that. I want to go the opposite direction. I want to go a place that you played that was the absolute worst for whatever reason. And you don't have to name a name. Just paint the picture for me. I want to feel like I'm there with you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. We could actually have a conversation about like my top five. Sorry, my dog is joining the call and I'm going to take his collar off so he doesn't jingle in our ears. Okay, it's okay, Optimus. Here you go, buddy. All right. Well, one of the best fights I ever saw was in a bar in Loretta, Kentucky, called the Cozy Corner.
Love it.
And I can tell you the whole story, but if you're talking about the worst place I've ever made music in,
yes.
I'm not going to tell you the name of the bar because it, just in case that delightful little shoot and stab is still open, I don't want to deter anybody from ever
going to it.
It was in the great state of Arkansas, and it had this name that suggested to me they probably serve hot dogs. It's like a cool sports bar.
Okay.
And I had booked it sight unseen. I was like, whatever, I need to make money for the weekend. And so I grabbed two friends and I was like, listen, I will buy your dinner, which is probably hot dogs and beer. If you'll go with me, help me carry all my stuff.
Yep.
So we get there. It's like you go under this overpass and then it's super shady. And I see one orange lit Miller Lite neon sign. Everything else is boarded from the inside.
Perfect.
The door doesn't have a handle. It just says knock on a piece of duct tape on the door.
Oh, no.
So I knocked and a very nice gentleman named Dwayne opened the door and asked me, are you the entertainment? So I go in. He's these are very, very nice people. Yeah. But I quickly realize what I've walked into.
Yep.
I start loading my stuff to the stage and the stage is covered in like boat carpet. And right past the DJ booth, there is a barber's chair leaned back. And I thought, well, that's strange. Not nearly as strange as the mirrors on the back wall of the stage or the pole in the center. I have accidentally booked myself at an illegal, I mean, it's a legal bar, but it's an illegal, you know, exotic dance area.
Yes.
And they were, I mean, I was terrified for my life the entire time, but it turns out they were really wonderful people and the burgers were fairly good. Like the shot glasses weren't of a shape that I would care to use again, but, sure. But it was really the most, when people ask me like, what's the craziest thing? I'm like, this is the craziest thing that's ever happened to me. I did a 4-hour show there and, and here I am singing like Barbara Mandrell songs in this really cool biker bar that has some other hobbies. And when I asked our friendly bartender, could we get some menus? And she said, if you want food, you're going to have to talk to Dave, whose name happens to be in the title of the club. And I said, okay, where's Dave? And she said, he's in the DJ booth. So I went over there and I'm like, hi, are you Dave? I'm sorry to bother you. And he was like, what do you want? I said, we were just wondering if we could get some food. And you know that scene from Goonies?
Oh, yeah.
She's like, what do you want to drink? They're like, water.
Slams it down.
He's like, what do you want to eat? And I was like, just two burgers, just burgers and beers. And he's like, do you want fries? Like, sure. And he was a really nice guy, but he was, you know, doing other stuff. Best worst of all time.
That is unbelievable. People weren't dancing while you were performing, correct?
Thank you for saying that, because our server, whose name was Crystal and was a very, very nice lady, told me to let her know when I was going to take breaks, because what does she do on the breaks?
Oh, no.
She dances. And you know what? She took me to an even seedier place after my show to sing karaoke. And that was the first time I ever sang Dirty Diana. And I've been singing it ever since.
What a great song. I love that song. Seriously, I do. It's such a good tune. Oh, man. What a story, Ashley. Well, you know, I think this is probably the right time for me to take a right turn as we do leading ladies and talk about one piece of advice that you have for young women listening right now, seriously, because there are so many fans that look up to you and they love your music. If you could give them just one piece of advice, what would you tell them?
If there's anything stopping you from doing this, pursuing this, coming to this town to make this music with us, if there's something that makes you think we're not accepting or we're catty or we're cutthroat, I would want you to know that we're more likely to be caught in a bar together buying each other rounds than we are to ever cut each other down. The women of country music are fantastic. And that's not to say anything bad about the men. They're wonderful too. But from my point of view and all the females I've encountered and and getting to be a leading lady now, which seems amazing. Come on, there's room. And we are so ready to listen to everything you have to say.
I love it. That was very well said. I'm going to do some leading ladies quickfire, and then I'll let you go. Get back to Optimus in your life. Number one, which leading lady would you call first to write a song with?
Miranda Lambert.
Number two, which leading lady is your go-to for some day drinking?
Karen Fairchild.
Number three, your favorite leading lady concert or performance that you've ever witnessed as a fan?
Oh, El King.
Good answer. Number four, which leading lady deserves more spotlight right now than she's currently getting?
Oh, wow. Kaylee Hammack.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. I mean, there's so many, obviously, but that's
there are tons and tons. It's really hard to narrow it down. I just try to go by the first thumbnail that pops up in my brain.
Ashley, it is so great to talk to you. Truly, I am a gigantic fan. I wouldn't own the shirts if I wasn't. I appreciate your time. I love your music, and we'll keep playing it.
Thank you so much. It was awesome talking to you today.
Thanks so much. You too. Have a great day, Ashley.
See you soon.